Well, welcome. Welcome, everyone. This is Sharon Pope. And for those of you who don't know me, I'm a relationship life coach, author, speaker, and radio host of the online radio show every Sunday night, Tell the Truth with Sharon Pope. And I would like to welcome you to your last holiday alone. This is your path to creating the love you desire in 2015. So that next year, your holiday looks dramatically different than this year's holiday. So thank you, thank you, thank you again for being here with me tonight and for sharing your light with me. I am always grateful for the hearts that come together for these kind of deep, meaningful, soulful conversations, and I never take you for granted. If you are on this call, you're probably someone who wants to have love in their lives. You may have been attracting the same types of people in the same difficult circumstances. You may be someone who has been hesitant about opening their heart again because you've been hurt before. Maybe you've just gotten out of a long marriage and you're trying to navigate this dating world. Or maybe your story is as simple as, although you've been meeting plenty of people, you just haven't found the right one yet. Whatever your path is, the one thing in common is that we all want love in our lives. We all want someone who will be by our side as a witness to our lives. And I think at the end of the day, we all just want to love and to be loved. It's my belief that to love and to be loved is all we're really here to do. And we're not meant to do this thing called life alone. So my intention for the next hour is to share with you my five most meaningful steps that you can take that will put you on your path to finding the love that you desire for yourself. And this is going to be the stuff that nobody tells you. It has absolutely nothing to do with the logistics of dating. Use this website or that website. Where do you go in order to meet new people? What should you wear? It has nothing to do with that. It doesn't have anything to do with what you look like or what you think all your many flaws are. It doesn't even have anything to do with how long you've been single. And that's because most people want to skip ahead to the details of finding their life partner before they ever go through the process of preparing for their love in their life. And, you know, like it or not, we are, in fact, a culture of immediate gratification. I know I suffer from it. And sometimes we just want the bullet point list of how we're going to meet, quote, the one, as if there is only one. And give me the quickest path to get to the finish line. I just want to be at the finish line. And finding your love is actually the last step in the process. And even that step doesn't look like you think it should or does. So we're going to dispel some of those myths. Because finding your love has much more to do with who you're being and who you're becoming than the details and the tools that you're using to meet someone. So I want to share with you a little about me and my story so that you know how I got here. I had the nice, handsome husband. We lived in a four-bedroom home in a suburban golf community. We had nice cars, took vacations, had a wide circle of friends and loving families. I had a good corporate job with a pension and a 401k. We had one dog and no children. And I had no reason to be unhappy. But I was. I was unhappy and I was lonely in my marriage. I met my husband in graduate school at the age of 24. And I knew he wouldn't lie to me, cheat on me, or leave me, as some of my past boyfriends had done at that young age. But what I didn't know at that very young age is that there's very little passion in the safe approach to anything. So you see, my husband and I had love for one another, but we were never lovers. We did not cuddle, caress, or lose time together. We never awoke in each other's arms, and we rarely had deep, meaningful conversations. The reality is he didn't require me to share too much of my soul with him. So I could stay safe and hidden, but not necessarily in love. So my marriage ended after 11 years. I was then sad, lonely, and alone, and it was a very unsettled place for me. And so soon after that, I began playing with fire. That's usually how I refer to that person in my life. I met this gentleman named Michael through some mutual friends. He was tall, broad-shouldered, very muscular, and devilishly handsome. His confidence and charm really commanded the room's attention. And it didn't take long for us to establish a connection and become caught in this vortex of intense feelings and emotions and quickly falling for one another. I gave him my heart, my mind, and my soul. And since you know enough about me and my marriage now, you probably know I had allowed that far into my heart before. And he was like oxygen for me during a time when I was truly on life support. But playing with fire is a predictable activity, and I got burned. So soon after telling me that he loved me, Michael began pulling away, seeing other women, and making me feel suddenly very unimportant. And the day that it was kind of final, at least in my eyes, is he told me that although he, quote, loved me, he wasn't in love with me. Harsh, but honest. You see, Michael had awakened feelings in me that I had never felt before. And so after we broke up, I went through this period of time where I was terrified that without him, I would never feel those feelings again. And I was really afraid of going back to that numb existence that I felt when I was married. So I was heartbroken. And there were times when I could hardly pull myself off the couch. I dropped probably 25 pounds. I was on both antidepressants and sleeping pills. And I went out and drank every night to numb myself and avoid going home to face the truth of my life. I think I shed more tears in the months that followed than I had my entire adult life. So I continued trying to find a man that could fill that emptiness that I felt in my heart, because I naively thought that that was the solution. So I was handing out my heart to virtually anyone who was broken enough to take it. And that went on for a little while, until I finally just stopped. I don't know exactly what caused it. I like to think of it as a bit of divine intervention. But I stopped searching and reaching and grasping, and I just simply got still. I forced myself to get comfortable with being alone. I started journaling to make sense of what was happening in my life, and during that time, I kept coming across other women that would have shockingly similar experiences. So my journaling ultimately became my memoir and self-help book, Life, Love, Lies, and Lessons. So these experiences were by far the most difficult period of my life, but they were also the catalyst for the most profound change and growth in my life. It was the time that I finally stopped running and hiding and spent the next 2 years answering the difficult questions of my life, getting really honest with myself, and taking radical responsibility for how I had come to this point in my life and with my own heart. So now I can look back at that time period in my life and know that that experience wasn't just for my own growth and benefit. I can very clearly see that it was so that I could help other women and a few brave men find love in their own lives. See, we were created by love, and we were created for love. And trying to deny it doesn't work for So that's what I'm going to ask you to do with me this evening, is find the courage to begin to tell the truth to yourself about your love experiences for the greater, bigger, broader, more beautiful goal of finding the love that you're seeking for your life. I'm going to take a sip of water. Now, I always begin my blog posts and my radio shows with quotes, so I'd like to do that tonight as well. And tonight's quote is from Iana Van Zandt. And it's, you cannot get love from the outside until you are love on the inside. So this class is for you if you want to be in a relationship. If you feel like you've been left on the sidelines of love for reasons that are beyond your control. If you've had your heart broken and are scared to trust again. If you've failed at love previously and are starting to lose hope of finding it for yourself. Or if you've just gotten out of a long-term marriage and are trying to navigate this new world of dating. After tonight's class, I want you to see that you can spend all the time you want spinning around the dating hamster wheel. But the only way to be able to create a different experience for yourself is to get really honest with yourself and understand your role in creating your experiences so far. Because it's then and only then that you can be successful in finding the lasting love that you desire and deserve. So tonight we're going to cover the five most meaningful steps that you can take to put you on your path to finding love in 2015. We're going to talk about how you actually play a really important role in the creation of your experiences as it relates to love. How attempting to bypass the two most important pieces of the process actually prevents you from getting the love that you really want. We're going to talk about identifying what's keeping you stuck in your love patterns and understand how to break free. And lastly, we're going to cover how being compassionate towards yourself through this process yields far greater results and is actually the thing that can create the miracle of a soulful, passionate, and lasting love. So I am going to teach you as much as I can in the limited time that we have together. And I promise that at the end of this call, I'll show you how you can find out more information or you can take it further for yourself if that's what you want to do. So I will ask you to please hold your questions until the end. I will take questions at the end. But I want to be able to give you as much helpful information as possible during the short time that we have together. So let's begin. Everyone wants to jump in and find out, how do I find, quote, the one? Well, as a relationship life coach, this is what I do all day, every day. And I speak with many people who want to find love in their lives. And they search and they try and they get their hearts broken. They adjust their expectations. They go on dates. They begin to think that there must be something wrong with them. They find someone. They think that they finally found the one. And then that falls apart. What most people don't realize, and this is because no one teaches us this, is that you just simply skipped some important steps. And some of those steps are understanding the role that fear has played so far in your relationships. It's doing some soulful truth-telling about how you actually helped to unintentionally create the experiences you've had. Sometimes the same experiences that you don't want over and over and over again. And lastly, how loving, accepting, and forgiving yourself is a really important step because it's only then that you can love, accept, and forgive everybody else. And without taking these deliberate steps to prepare yourself for the love that you desire in your life, love will likely continue to elude you. So I believe that if we are able to be courageous enough to take these steps together without judgment, then we can create a different experience for ourselves, actually creating the kind of love that we want in our lives. So as we do this, it's really important to be gentle with yourself. Explore these questions from a place of genuine interest and what I call compassionate curiosity, rather than just using it as another excuse to beat ourselves up or identify more ways that we somehow fall short. Goodness knows we have enough of those messages on any given day, and this isn't the place for that. Because looking truth in the eye is our place to find our strength, not our weakness. So if you don't have one already, I would encourage you to get a pen and paper, because we're going to get to those 5 steps, and I want you to be able to take some notes and write this down. Step 1, I want you on that piece of paper in front of you to write down the 3 things that you fear most as it relates to relationships. Take a deep breath with me if this is a prickly topic for you. Maybe you're afraid that you'll be alone forever. Maybe you're afraid of never finding the right one to spend your life with. Maybe you're afraid that you'll have to settle in order to have someone by your side. Maybe you're afraid that you're not pretty enough, thin enough, not outgoing enough, not whatever enough to really have love in your life. Are you afraid that men always leave and that you'll be abandoned? Are you afraid that he will cheat? So you'll find yourself being incredibly jealous and suspicious many times? Do you secretly fear that love is for other people, but not for you? Or maybe you're afraid that you're somehow not worthy of real, honest, and lasting love. Whatever your fears are, I want you to name them, because it's a really important piece to this process. Just take a moment and list them out on your paper. Why do I have you do this? Well, 2 reasons. One is because the minute you look truth in the eye, it immediately has less power over you. So just by simply stating your fears, you've already increased your level of awareness about what you're most afraid of. And its grip on you, although probably not gone, should feel a little lighter. The other reason that this is important is that many times we actually unintentionally create the experiences that we fear the most. Let me give you an example. One of my clients, I'll call her Cindy because I never say the real names of my clients, feared that she wasn't going out enough to ever find the man of her dreams. So whenever she was out with her friends and men would come around and try to talk, she would shut down because she has the thought running through her head over and over that men don't like her because she's not outgoing. The men would eventually walk away, and now she has evidence to support that fear of hers. So that would cause her to stay home more often, and that she wouldn't go out so that she wouldn't have to go through that pain. So obviously she wasn't meeting anyone, but it all stems from a fear that she wasn't outgoing enough or worthy of real love in her life. When you're so afraid that someone is going to leave you, as another example, you actually begin to bring a needy and graspy energy to the relationship. I want you to think for a minute about when you go into a department store, and someone comes up to you and says, "Can I help you?" And you say that, "Oh, no, I'm just looking." Then they go on to say, "Well, have you seen our sale we're having on all of our pants today? They're all 20% off, and when you spend more than $100, you get a $10 gift certificate. and you reply with a, thanks, but I'm just looking. The salesperson goes on to say, sure, no problem. Would you like to try on this dress that you're looking at? I can place it in the fitting room for you. And so that goes on for a little bit, but what does it make you want to do? It makes you want to run away, right? Because it's graspy, and when you're being chased, what do? You run. It's the same thing in our relationships. If we're desperately afraid that we're going to be abandoned, we actually create the experience and the energy that makes people want to run away. And then we use that as evidence to support that fear and dig in our heels on that belief that everyone always abandons us. And the more proof we acquire, the greater that fear becomes, when it's actually us that has been creating the experience ourselves as a result of that nasty little gremlin called fear. When it comes to love, fear is always present to some degree. Many of us just want to move past the fear or bypass it altogether, never really looking at it directly, or, God forbid, have fear, because that might somehow weakness. I would challenge you to learn how to coexist with that fear. Allow the fear to be present without judgment and without trying to change it. Knowing that we all have it, just being aware of its presence and just noticing it is enough. At this point, it's enough. Being honest about it, calling it by name, looking it in the eye, and maybe even dancing with it a bit. That's how you deal with fear. So step two is what I call soulful truth telling. So many times when we're looking for answers about why we don't have love in our lives that we want, we look at external factors. So I'm going to share with you some of the ones that I hear quite often. Men are intimidated by strong, successful women like me. All the good ones are taken. All I attract are, fill in the blank. All I attract are married men. All I attract are players. All I attract are bad boys, needy people, whatever. But here's the problem. Looking outside ourselves doesn't work. When you're running your story through your mind or with your girlfriends over and over with these beliefs that you've been carrying around, you actually stay stuck. There's no opportunity for freedom there. Here's why. Number one, we can't ever change or control anyone but ourselves. So trying to, think the thought over and over and over, well, he shouldn't have done that to me. He lied to me. He cheated on me. That all may be true. But it's a dead end, and it keeps you stuck. And trying to change someone, well, I probably don't have to tell you, it doesn't work. The other reason is because on any given day, there is quite enough on any one of our plates to deal with. So it's simply crazy-making to think that we're able to take care of someone else's journey in addition to our own. So you can stay there. You can keep your suffering if it makes you feel good. But if you're courageous enough to go deeper than that and tell the truth to yourself, that's your ticket to freedom. So let's dip our toe in that water. This is the soulful truth-telling that I do in my coaching. What's been the pattern in your relationships so far? Are you always the one that leaves the relationship, or are you always the one that is left behind? Maybe you stick around no matter how bad it gets, until he can do the one thing that you weren't strong enough to do for yourself in that moment. Is your pattern that you only attract men that are taken or committed or even married? Do you seem to only attract bad boys? The ones who don't quite trust completely but can't help but be drawn to? Do you always seem to connect with people who won't commit? What are your patterns in your relationships? Maybe your pattern is that you're alone, that you've been alone for a long time. That's a pattern. But once you understand your patterns, you have the opportunity to understand the role that you played in helping to create that experience. Now, I understand that this can feel a little prickly. Because while it's easier to stay in our story about why we don't have love, there's no opportunity for freedom. Like I said, it's a dead end. So this is the work that most of the world will never do. And that's because it's uncomfortable. So I'm asking you to walk with me and rise above that, because my guess is that you want a love that looks dramatically different than what most of the rest of the world has. So here's some questions. Where and when did you abandon you? Emotionally, physically, spiritually, where did you abandon yourself? Where did you neglect yourself, your needs, and your happiness? Did you try to make someone else responsible for your own happiness? Were you looking to someone to love you enough that you might learn to love yourself? Did you allow other voices to drown out your own? Did you put everybody else's needs before your own? Did you start to attempt to control others to avoid the difficult questions in the mirror? Just take a moment to reflect on what rings true for you, knowing that you're not alone and there's no judgment here, because we have all abandoned ourselves from time to time. Where did you not tell the truth in the relationship? I'm not saying you lied. I'm saying, where did you not tell the truth to yourself? Where did you overlook what you knew to be true? Was it more important to look perfect and act perfect than to let your true heart be really seen and experienced? Allowing yourself to be vulnerable, because that can be a scary place. Did you have fears that you couldn't or wouldn't articulate to your love? Were you attempting to be someone that you're not so that he or she might love you more? Were you being abused emotionally but refused to recognize it as such because you don't like to think of yourself as a victim? The beauty and the breakthrough occurs here with soulful truth telling when we can begin to tell the truth about it. Because once you can see your role in the experience, here's the great part. Once you can see your role, you have the opportunity to create a different experience for yourself in the future. That's the beautiful part. All right, step three. Step three, the question is, what's keeping you stuck? These patterns that you have acknowledged so bravely, let me just take a moment and give a deep bow to you so far, because if you're still on this call and you're still answering the questions, that means that you are courageous enough to go there in order to find love for yourself. Here's why these patterns are important to heal. Everyone that comes into our lives is just a teacher for us, just like we are for them. And what we don't acknowledge and heal just continue to show up again and again in a different pair of pants until we finally learn what it is that we are to learn from that person. So So those experiences that keep happening over and over and over again, that's your opportunity to say, what am I supposed to learn from this experience? Because it's just going to keep showing up until that lesson is learned. So let me give you a personal example. I'll expand on my story that I shared earlier. When I was newly divorced, single, and trying to figure out dating at close to 40 years old, there was a period of time. And this is a period of, I'm going to say it was about 2 weeks. I mean, it was like hardly any time at all, where I had four different men with zero connection to one another that reached out to me, that were committed. One had been dating a woman for years. Two were living with women, and one was married. Now, I could have stayed stuck in the story that the only men who find me attractive are taken. But in reality, the only common denominator was me. So I had to get really honest about what my role was in this. And here's what I found. I was willing to be the, quote, other woman. I was willing to settle for second place in their life. I didn't require anything of them, which meant that clearly my standards needed a little bit of altitude. And I'm here to tell you, as soon as I recognized that for myself, as soon as I did that, these men fell off the map. I mean, they literally never reached out again. And all it takes is a little bit of courage and some truth-telling. So remain open to learning the lesson. Learn what it is that these relationships are there to teach you. Then make changes in your beliefs and your actions, and you will find the people that are showing up in your life after you do that look dramatically different than the people that were showing up in your life before you did it. Don't stay stuck. All right, that's step three. Step four, who needs forgiveness? I want to talk first about what forgiveness is not, because I spend a lot of time on forgiveness in coaching because it's difficult. So let's talk about what forgiveness is not. Forgiveness, it's not agreeing to what was done. It's not a sign of weakness. It's not condoning someone else's bad behavior. And it also, by the way, does not mean that you have to stay in a relationship with that person. You can forgive someone and never see them again. I think so many times we think when we forgive people, oh, okay, we have to sweep it all under the rug and go back to the relationship that we had before. And that's just not true. Forgiveness is a practice. It is a choice. And it is a learned skill. And I know that you've heard this before, but that's because it's true. Forgiveness is a gift that you give yourself. It's not for the other person. It's for you. It frees you. Now, forgiveness is critically important to do before you enter into a new relationship. If you make the choice to stay stuck, carrying around resentments from past relationships, all we're going to do is continue to attract betrayal into our lives. Let me repeat that because it's important. If you don't release it, you will continue to attract the exact thing that you don't want in your life. That negative energy will become a magnet for more negative energy to come to you. So first, forgive yourself. There were some things you didn't know. There were some things you didn't know how to handle, how to recognize, how to communicate, or how to overcome. I am a big believer in that we're all just doing the best we can with where we are at in each of our respective journeys. And that once we know something new, we can't unknow it. We can't unlearn what we've come to learn. So in the words of Dr. Maya, once you know better, you do better. So forgive yourself, because now you know something different than you didn't know before. Next, forgive the people from your past relationships. I know it's hard. So they weren't what you needed. So they made mistakes. And they let you down. They did what they knew how to do based upon where they're at on their journey. And I want you to think about that for a second. Because so many times when other people don't meet our expectations, we don't understand why they did that or why they didn't meet our expectations. They did the best they could based upon what they knew at the time. And people will say, but he lied, he cheated, she left. Yes, but that's where they're at. Very likely still in a broken place themselves. But that's their journey, it's not yours. And you can't manage their journey in addition to yours. You've got to stay in your own business. You've got to stay in your own home zone. And lastly, forgive everybody else. Forgive the other woman, because you and I both know it's not about her. Forgive the friends who, although well-intentioned, didn't know how to respond to your hurt. And if you can forgive them all and bless them on their journey, I promise you that you will find a kind of peaceful freedom that you have never known before. So it's worth the work. Who do you need to forgive? All right, step five. Step five is put yourself first. How you treat yourself will be the greatest demonstration of how others should treat you. You're teaching people how to treat you. If you are always the last thing on your never-ending list of things to do in any given day, then you're demonstrating that you and your needs aren't important. If I have some moms on the phone, this is especially critical for you to take note, because moms never seem to make it to their own list. And here's the thing. The one person that's always been there and isn't going anywhere and you can't outrun her is you. And when you're going through this process of looking deeply within and doing some soulful truth-telling to identify how you helped create your experience, it's important that you do it from a place of compassionate curiosity rather than using it as another reason to beat yourself up. As I said, we have enough opportunity for that already. So ask yourself, how can I treat myself as a priority today? How can I give myself the gift of quiet, solitude, or stillness, even if it's only for a few minutes? How can I find 10 minutes to do something that brings me joy today? Turn on the music, dance around the room. Call your best friend on the phone. Actually have a phone conversation instead of a text conversation. How can I show up more fully in my own life? How can I be more truthful to myself today? And how can I let my messy, imperfect, and absolutely beautiful self shine a bit today? I'd like to give you an example of one of my beautiful clients who I'll refer to as Carrie, who desperately wants love in her life. And not just any kind of love. She wants the fun and passionate, soulful and lasting love. And much like me, her first marriage was based on safety. And after her divorce, she immediately fell in love with a younger man that broke her heart wide open. This confident, sassy, highly successful woman was brought to the fetal position on her kitchen floor in tears more than once. I always say that there's nothing like love and love lost to bring you to your knees. And that's why I do the work that I do. So through our work together, she was able to see how she had unintentionally sabotaged that relationship. She literally got up and ran anytime she felt really seen and really vulnerable. And as she was trying to figure out dating in her 50s, she was trying to be the cool girl in the relationship, never asking for too much, not responding too quickly to texts, and pushing all of her needs and feelings aside. And that made him think she wasn't really in love with him, when the truth was that she wasn't really in love with her. Once Carrie could see clearly her role in the experience of both her marriage and this recent relationship, that truth led her to making commitments to herself to never again run from intimacy or hide from vulnerability with someone that she deeply cares about. She is opening herself up to dating again, but with a dramatically different level of self-awareness and confidence. So trust me when I tell you that because she's done this work, love is going to find her very soon. So those are the five steps to take. And by being willing to get really honest with yourself, healing your heart, and forgiving yourself and everyone else, that's when you can begin the process of opening yourself up to the beautiful, nurturing, lasting love that you've always desired. Now, I'm going to share with you the three steps of my coaching program so that you can take it further if you want, either with me or if you choose to do it alone, it doesn't matter, but I want you finding love for yourself in 2015. So through this teleconference, through the last 45 minutes, you have essentially received a few of the most powerful segments of the first section of my coaching package. It's called My Year for Love. That helps put you on your path to finding love. All right, step one in this program of My Year for Love is, not surprisingly, called Telling the Truth. So the very first thing is we have to get really honest about our past relationships and our role in those experiences as it relates to love. Because it's only once we can tell the truth about our history, our patterns, our thoughts, and our deeply held beliefs that we are able to then see it clearly in order to then create a different and healthier experience for ourselves. The second step to the My Year for Love program is called Healing the Past. Many times we unknowingly carry around whatever wasn't healed in one relationship right into the next one, all the while wondering why it is we can't find and sustain the love that we seek and the love that we deserve. So in that section is where we get to the bottom of these thoughts and beliefs that we've been carrying around with us, so that they can ultimately be released and we can see many other versions of the truth. Because once you know the truth, you can't unlearn it. So this tool is one that will stay with you for a lifetime. And step three of the My Year for Love program is called Finding the One. See, it is only once we've cleared away the clutter in our lives, minds, and heart to love, attracting the kind of partner that we so desperately desire, recognizing it when it shows up, and then sustaining it over time. This step is all about what you're doing. Oh, sorry, it's not about what you're doing. It's about who you're being. That's going to make all the difference in attracting the right relationships to you. Again, it's not about what website are you on, what are you wearing, what are all of your many flaws, how long have you been single. Once you've done the important work in steps one and two, honestly, finding love becomes easy, graceful, and yes, even enjoyable. So it's in that last phase where you're going to make commitments, not to me, but to you, to yourself, about what specific actions you'll now be taking in order to attract, recognize, and sustain love in your life. So if you'd like the opportunity to know more about the My Year for Love program, which begins in 4 weeks, it is a 7-week program, and there's only a limited number of spaces available. I have opened my calendar for Friday, Saturday, Monday, and Tuesday for a limited number of what I call free truth and clarity sessions that I'm making available to anyone on this call tonight. This is a free call with me for about 30 minutes, where I'm going to help you get really clear about what's keeping you from having the love life that you desire. And that way you have information to know whether or not it's something that you want to pursue on your own or you would like my assistance with. So to be one of the first to sign up for those Truth and Clarity sessions, you can go to my website at SharonPope.com. And in the upper right corner, right by the picture of me, you're going to see a button that says Schedule Your Free Truth and Clarity Session. But no worries, you will also receive an email from me tonight that will contain a link to apply for a free follow-up session with me. Now, before you get off the phone, I like to end the call by providing you with at least 2 more tools for love. The first one is 3 quick but powerful steps to manifesting love in your life that were included in the article that I had published in Mind Body Green recently, and so I want to share those with you. Step 1 is creating your vision for love. Get a crystal clear vision of the love that you want in your life. Forget the physical attributes. Yes, I said it. Forget what it looks like and the checklist that you have of all your must-haves and deal breakers that you've been carrying around either mentally or physically. Instead, I want you to create a vision based upon what you want to feel next year when you find this person. How do you want to feel when the one you adore wraps their arms around you? How do you want to feel when you wake up next to them in the morning? How do you want to feel when you're walking down the street hand in hand with your love? How do you want to feel about yourself? How do you want to feel in their presence? That's the way to create a vision for the kind of love that you want. Step 2 is we attract what we are. So I want you to name the traits that your love is going to need to have in order to live up to that very big vision that you just created for him or her. Are they strong, kind, loving, affectionate, compassionate, confident, honest, committed, intentional? What are those things that that person is going to need? Because we attract what we are, those are the exact things that you're going to have to become in order to attract that kind of person into your life. And the third piece is show up in love. Work on becoming the best version of yourself, and your love that you've been trying to find will actually find you. Because finding love has more to do with who you're being and who you're becoming than the logistics of what you're doing. The second tool I want to give you as a thank you for sticking around here with me is my Freedom Manifesto. You're going to receive this in the follow-up email. And this is just going to, it gives you a vision for what freedom looks and feels like. And it's really you at your best. Freedom is a deep inner knowing of our own self-worth. Freedom is never placing anyone else's opinion higher than our own. And freedom is allowing others to really see and experience us. So as a thank you for sharing your time with me here tonight, I will be sending you my Freedom Manifesto, and you can print it off, use it as wallpaper, or share it with friends. I will say it again. We were created by love, and we were created for love. We all deserve love, and trying to deny it doesn't work for very long. So my hope for you, my deep hope, is with or without moving forward with me, is that you will all find the deep, soulful, powerful, and transformative love that you deserve in 2015. As I said, I am going to stick around and take some questions. If you have questions that you'd like to address with me personally, you can email those to me. My email address is sharon@sharonpopetruth.com. So if you're sticking around for the Q&A, I will just close this out and turn off the recording. Thank you if you have to hop. Thank you so much for being here, and thank you again for sharing your light with me. As always, tell the truth, heal your heart, and find your love. God bless. Okay, the recording has been turned off, and I'm going to turn on the Q&A queue. If it will let me. Uh-oh. Shoot. If you're still on the call, just hang tight. I'm reconnecting here. If you have to hop and you do have a question, you can feel free to email it to me at sharon@sharonpopetruth.com. I'm still connected to the internet, but the dashboard for the conferencing system seems to be having some troubles. So I will stick for another minute or so, but I imagine most of you are dropping off by now. My apologies. Don't you love technology? All right. There was a server connection error. If you have questions, I look forward to hearing them. Just email them to me. Go to my website. It's super simple. I wish you all well. Mwah.